Chapter 26. Don't Look Back. Words. Actually. Asian. Attack. Bar. Barking. Baton. Behave. Besides. Bulletproof. Bulletproof vest. Burned. Central prison. Closer. Consciousness. Crawl. Crook. Crossing. Debt. Detainee. Din. Distance. Dog. Downpour. Eight. Expected. Expression. Extended. Farther. Flash. Flowed. Forest. Freight train. Gasoline. Give. Gradually. Hoped. Hung. Infernal. Lightning. Lip. Lie. Manner. Motionless. Mutual. Not allowed. Obey. Plan. Railway track. Regain consciousness. Remembered. Ridiculous. Rubber. Sarcasm. Sarcastically. See. Silently. Siren. Slipped off the road. Stand up. Stay. Stronger. Struck. Teach. Thunder. Transport. Unlocked. Vest. Wailing. Wear. Weather. Don't Look Back. Paul Rost was arrested and put into a cell at the police station. Rost entered the cell and could not believe his eyes. Sitting there was John Vega. John Vega opened his mouth in surprise. "Detective Rost," he said, "I never expected to see you here. How are you?" "Mr. John Vega," Rost said, "how are you? When do you plan a new robbery at your own bank, Mr. Manager?" Rost asked sarcastically. "Your sarcasm looks ridiculous, Paul. After all, you are also here." "You're also a criminal, Paul Rost," Vega replied. "By the way, you were shot, but you are alive," Rost noted. Asher or Pandora have such passionate feelings for me that I always wear a bulletproof vest when I go to meet them," the former bank manager smiled. "I think that these feelings are mutual, John. Isn't it so?" Rost said. "Oh, yes, you are right. By the way, do you know where they are?" Vega inquired. "You can't spend a day without seeing your old friends," Rost replied. "Yes, I really want to see them," John Vega smiled unkindly. "I don't think that you'll have a chance to see them in the next 5 years," Rost said. 5 years is much better than a life sentence in an Asian prison," Vega laughed. "Besides, I'm sorry for what I did, so I hope that I will get no more than 3 years." Vega was almost happy. Rost noticed that Vega changed from a respectable bank manager into a completely different person. His appearance and manners were like those of a crook. Actually, he was a crook, of course. Rost looked at the bars on the window and remembered his first meeting with him at the bank. He met Lisa for the first time then, too. At this point, the guard opened the door and looked into the cell. "John Vega and Paul Rost, you are being moved to the central prison. Get out of the cell," he ordered. The guard led Vega and Rost toward the exit of the police station. They were put into a van for transporting prisoners. One prisoner was already inside. It was Arthur Stravinsky. He saw Rost, but his expression didn't change. It seemed that he wasn't even surprised. "Thank you for giving me a chance," he looked at Rost. "I won't stay in your debt." "Shut your mouth, Stravinsky," the guard shouted at him. The van with the three prisoners drove down the street. Black clouds hung above the town. Flashes of lightning appeared on the horizon. They left the city and drove toward the central prison, which was located about 30 kilometers from the city. The lightning flashes were getting closer and closer. It started to rain and thunder. The rain gradually turned into a heavy downpour. The water beat loudly on the windows and on the roof. The lightning struck closer and closer. "We'd better stop and wait out the bad weather," the guard suggested to the driver. "There's no time," he replied. "I have to make it to two places before 5 o'clock." They were driving past the airfield when lightning struck a large tree near the road. The van just then passed by the tree, and the lightning hit the van also. The infernal din and electric shock stunned everyone in the van. The van caught fire, slipped off the road, and overturned. Arthur Stravinsky regained consciousness first and looked around. The fire in the van burned stronger and stronger. The other people lay motionless. He extended his hand through the bars and took the key from the guard's pocket. Then he unlocked the handcuffs and the bars and climbed out. He took a gun from one of the guards and put it in his pocket. The rain and lightning continued. There were no other cars around. Stravinsky ran away from the van, but then stopped and looked back. Gasoline flowed out of the van, and the fire in the van burned even stronger. He quickly returned to the car and began to pull Rost out. Vega and another guard regained consciousness and began to get out of the car. Vega got out and immediately fled into the forest near the road. "Pull him out of the van," the guard ordered to Stravinsky and pointed to another guard who was still lying in the burning van. Stravinsky pulled the guard out and put him on the ground. The guard did not move. Then Stravinsky pulled Rost out and put him on the ground. The guard picked up the radio to call for help, but Stravinsky pointed the gun at him. "Put the radio on the ground," he shouted. Rost opened his eyes and looked at Stravinsky. "Stravinsky, don't shoot," he said quietly. He was injured and could not get up. "He won't shoot," the guard said quietly. "He's a good boy, right, Stravinsky?" The guard came up to Stravinsky, took the gun from his hand, and hit Stravinsky in the face with the gun. The prisoner fell to the ground. The guard slowly raised the radio to his face and called for help, looking at Stravinsky. Then he pulled out a rubber baton and began to beat Stravinsky. "Don't ever do that," he shouted and continued to beat him. "Don't ever do that. When you go back to prison, I'll teach you how to behave." "Stop! You'll kill him," Rost cried. The guard stopped and looked at Rost. Then he went over and wiped his face with his hand. "Rost, who are you to give orders?" he asked. "You're under arrest and must obey my orders." "Detainee Rost, stand up," he ordered. Rost silently looked at the guard. He couldn't get up because he was injured. The guard smiled and began to beat Rost with the baton. Rost covered his head with his hands and started to crawl under the overturned car to protect himself from the attacks. At that moment, a shot rang out. The guard stopped and looked at Stravinsky. Stravinsky was holding a gun that he had taken from the other guard. "Get away from him," he shouted at the guard. "Stravinsky, now you'll never see your prison," the guard said and quickly pulled out a gun. But Stravinsky shot him, and the guard fell. Stravinsky picked up Rost. "Paul, I have to go. I'm sorry," he said. "Help me. I have to finish one business. Take the radio and let's go," he said. Police sirens were heard in the distance. Paul Rost couldn't walk fast with a wounded leg, so Stravinsky led Rost into the forest. When they walked a short distance away from the road and looked around to choose the direction, a shot was heard, and Stravinsky fell. The guard, who shot from behind a tree, wounded him in the shoulder. Rost helped him get up and they went on. Stravinsky and Rost walked a little farther and saw railway tracks. A train was on the tracks. They climbed onto one of the cars. They hoped that the train would go soon, but time passed and the train did not move. Far away, they heard the wailing of sirens and the barking of search dogs. At last, the train began to move forward. About 5 kilometers away from the place where Stravinsky and Rost had climbed on the train, there was a railway crossing. Several cars were at the crossing. The crossing was closed, and the cars waited for the train to pass. The train stopped at the crossing. In one of the cars there was a family, a mother, a father, and a small son. The son was 7 or 8. The mother and father were talking about something, and the boy looked at the train. "Do people ride this train?" the son asked. "No, son, people have to ride the passenger train. This is a freight train. People are not allowed to ride a freight train," the father replied. The boy looked at the train again. 2 people sat between the cars and looked at him. The boy raised his hand and waved to them a little. The people on the train kept looking at him. Then one of the men pressed a finger to his lips. The boy understood that these were bad people because they did something they weren't allowed to. The train began to move, and the boy waved to the bad people. New Vocabulary Review. Could you tell me, is today still May, or is it June already? Today is May 31st. Tomorrow is June 1st. Could you tell me, where is the closest hospital? Walk that way. Walk for about 10 minutes, and you'll be there. Thank you. By the way, could I get there by public transportation? Take tram number 15. You need to get off at the 4th stop. Thank you. You're welcome. That man with an Asian appearance was arrested for theft. What did he steal? He stole gasoline from railway cars. People from nearby houses saw it and called the police. Do you want some hot coffee? With pleasure. Sorry, there is no more coffee. Do you want some hot tea? Yes, please. Sorry, there is also no more tea. Do you want some hot sandwiches? Yes. Unfortunately, there is no bread. Do you want to listen to the radio? No, thank you. Please teach our son some good manners. Does he have bad manners? Yes. He smokes. Often? When he drinks. And does he drink often? When he loses a lot of money at the casino. Have you heard about the incident at the railway crossing? No. What happened there? A cargo van broke down and stopped right at the crossing. At that time, a passenger train was passing. It hit the van. One passenger car overturned. People were injured. And is the van's driver still alive? He jumped out of the van just in time and ran away. The police are looking for him. Hello, how are you? Not bad, thank you. And how about you? Not bad either, thank you. Have you heard what happened to the president? What happened to him? He was arrested in a neighboring country, and they brought him back. Now he is in prison and regrets it. What does he regret? He regrets that he ordered the prison guards to beat prisoners with rubber batons. Why are you so sad? I regret many things that I have done. That's ridiculous. Everyone begins to regret something sooner or later. But why be so sad? It's not ridiculous. Life goes by fast, like sand through one's fingers, and I'm still at the point where I began my journey long ago. It means that everything is still ahead of you. Be happy that it is so.